Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, Come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were three gates on the east, and three gates on the north, and three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its wall, 72 yards, according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. And the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Revelation 21, 3 through 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Amen. We now come to one of the greatest promises of God that is ours in Jesus Christ. Throughout this book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, we have read of all the blasphemies and the hatred and the foulness and the evil that will fill the hearts of those who deny the love of God in Jesus Christ and even curse Him. We saw how the prophets and the saints have and will suffer the persecution of this realm because they stand for the name of Jesus in the midst of this perverse age. We studied the perseverance of the saints who hold true to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who overcome through His power and His wisdom and His life. Now we receive the great blessing that is in the heart of God after those faithful and true witnesses who are the ambassadors of His kingdom on this earth. And He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away, and He who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." As Christians, this promise from God makes our entire sojourn on this earth bearable. We are kept by the fact that God will treat us lovingly and faithfully for all of eternity, especially as we have had to face the horrible and evil onslaughts of this world order. We know that our lives are hid in Jesus Christ, and that we are safe and secure from all the eternal torments that will rightly face those who refuse to acknowledge the great love of God in His only begotten Son. We know that God has His hand upon our life, and that even though we are called to suffer for His name's sake, we are neither abandoned nor are we forsaken. We hold on to the reality of Romans 8:28-31. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? The most severe punishment or torment with which this world can attack us is martyrdom. It can only kill these physical bodies that we are given. It cannot kill our spiritual life in Jesus Christ. As we read in this morning's tremendous promise, "And there shall no longer be any death." When we come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ, physical death is no longer a threat, nor is it a punishment. It is seen in its proper perspective, as voiced by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:21-23. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. We do not seek death, for we are on this earth as long as the Lord has us here to serve Him in the lives that we live. Therefore, our release from these physical constraints is not a cause for fear or terror, but of being called home to be with the Lord forevermore. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This is the most reassuring certainty that is ours in Jesus Christ. We shall always be with the Lord. This is not the only passage that relates the course of this promise of the Word of God. The prophet Isaiah also records this marvelous and incredible guarantee in Isaiah 26:19-21. Your dead will live, their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy, for your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out from His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. God's people are secure in His omnipotence and omniscience and in His eternal faithfulness to fulfill all that He declares. Please note that this will include all who have died. Acts 24:14-15. But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law, and it is written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Everyone who lived on this earth will be brought before the throne of God's righteousness and be judged as to the fact of whether they are found securely in Christ or subjected to the second death. The second death is the eternal damnation in which those who are not covered by the righteousness and the justification of Jesus Christ will be eternally lusting after a release from their torment. They will seek death as a cessation of their punishment, but will never find it, ever. This is that eternal death, forever languishing apart from the life of Jesus Christ, which will never touch us. All pain and all suffering and mourning and crying will be taken from us, and we will surely and forever rejoice in the goodness of the life of the Lamb of God, our Lord and our Savior. This reality should cause us to consider our place in the heart of God, as it did the psalmist. Psalms 144, 3 and 4. O Lord, what is man that thou dost take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou dost think of him? Man is a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Why would God so love us as to even give us a thought, much less the great love of offering His only begotten Son to die for us? This is so far beyond any human comprehension as to be a mystery that will take all the eternal ages to understand. We are on this earth a mere handful of decades, mere passing wisps in the full scope of the eternal ages. And yet, we are so precious to God that He made the only way for our salvation. That is why His promise is so immense and intense in its capacity, extent, and consideration. This is especially amazing in the reality that He will create all things new for the sake of our place in His heart. He will stand by His promise to us in such an infinite degree as to make everything new in Jesus Christ. Upon that pledge we have His Word. As Jesus Himself proclaims in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My Word shall not pass away." His very nature compels Him to so manifest Himself in His holiness, His righteousness, His mercy, and His grace as He pours Himself wholly into our lives. All that is part of this defiled and sin-stained realm will be done away with as His holiness touches the very heart of His creation in Jesus Christ. We are fully encouraged to put this reality into place in our hearts and our minds, and to not set our affections on the transitory lust and covetousness of this passing realm. 1 Corinthians 7, 29 through 31. "But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who weep as though they did not weep, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of this world is passing away." What this world values as its gods and as its reasons for living are very swiftly passing away, as held forth in the continued promise of this morning's text. "The first things have passed away, and He who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" Just as we are assured of our absolute and complete safety in Him, so are we also confident in the truth that we can boldly count on the Lord to establish what He will do when He will do it. We do not question the timing with which He performs His promise. We just know that what He says He will accomplish will be done. The Apostle Peter tells us this so bluntly in 2 Peter 3:19 through 13. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We know that God has His plan and purpose in place in Jesus Christ. We know that He has eternally had His heart toward us in the completion of that secured intent. He will do everything in perfection to bring forth His everlasting design to His glory and His praise and His honor, as the universe of His creation will declare His love. In Jesus Christ, we will never suffer destruction, but only His abiding presence. We have no fear of the second death, neither of the judgment that will be meted out upon the corruptness of this realm. 1 John 2:17, "And the world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God abides forever." In God's perfect time and pleasure, He will make all things new to His glory alone. There will be no more stain of sin, but all will be pure and holy in the immaculate realm of the Lordship of Christ. Isaiah 42:8 through 10. "I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them." What will be in the entirety of creation is to be in evidence even this very day. Yes, at this time on this earth, we do suffer the corruption of the sinful nature. We do die physically and mourn and cry and feel pain and anguish. However, we can choose to not allow all this to hinder our relationship with God. We do so by the very power of Jesus Christ, who overcame all the evil influences of this age. We can study and obey the Word which God has given us through the living authority and influence of His Holy Spirit. This very instant, He lives in us. and gives us spiritual life. We do not have to live by the old nature. We can live by the new nature of Jesus Christ that is ours. We can choose to set our mind on Christ and realize the power of His resurrection life surging and coursing through even these frail and weak human bodies. As we are so powerfully encouraged by God in Isaiah 43:18-21, do not call to mind the former things, or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. The Apostle Paul heartens us in this course as we read in Colossians 3:1-4. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. The entire promise of God in Jesus Christ culminates in the newness of life that we have in Him. Just as there will be a new heaven and a new earth, just as God tells us, "Behold, I am making all things new," so are we to consider ourselves new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. We do not have to wait for eternity to know the immense value of this promise of God. It is already true of us this very day in Jesus Christ. We need not stress or worry or frustrate ourselves over what will take place, but need to rather learn to enjoy this very promise of God as our daily portion right now. Yes, we face the hardships of this time on earth, but we are to learn to face them in Jesus Christ. We need to learn to ever seek Him to do all that is His heart through each circumstance and trial and tribulation. This life is not easy, but it can be so glorious beyond all reckoning if we will but trust God's Word and obey the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction. This promise is our living and personal relationship with God through our union with Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our husband, our very life. So be it. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them, and He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Amen.